Hey there, and welcome to Bustin' Out of Breast Cancer, the show that has us straight talking about surviving and thriving breast cancer using the smile method. I am Shannon Burrows, your host for the show. I'm a breast cancer survivor and recovery coach, women's empowerment coach, and business strategist. I like to say I found my purpose at the intersection of passion and pain while navigating my own journey as a fitness professional. I became the person I couldn't find and now specialize in cancer exercise to help you navigate your own journey. I help women smile in the face of adversity, including breast cancer, to disengage from their limiting beliefs and start living their lifestyle by design to become the best version of themselves. On the show, we share survivor stories and talk about thriving in life and not just surviving. Welcome back to the show. This week's episode, we are talking to Christy Johnson. She is another amazing breast cancer thriver who she's going to share her story and tell you how far along she is and how amazing she's doing. She also happens to be a breast cancer wellness coach, which some might think, well, Shannon, why are you interviewing somebody who does pretty much the same thing as you? Listen, there's plenty of doctors out there. There's plenty of pediatricians out there. There's plenty of coaches out there. Like at the end of the game, we all have a different message. We all have a different approach. And I'm not going to be the right person for everyone. Christy's not going to be the right person for everyone. And it's about building that community. It's about building the resources because she's in California. I'm in Florida. And even though we can do training and coaching online, there's far too many of us, unfortunately, that get diagnosed with breast cancer. And as you've probably noticed in the pattern of this show, that I do love to interview other breast cancer thrivers because that's what we do. We thrive. We want to turn around and take our experience and our journey and try to help others. So I'm really excited for you to meet Christy, hear her story and all the amazing things that she's doing to help empower other breast cancer survivors as well. So welcome, Christy. Thank you so much for being here. I totally appreciate your time.
And hi, Shannon.
I can't wait for the listeners to hear about your story. So please tell me, when were you diagnosed and how did you know? Like, did you feel a lump? Because there's always that controversy of like, oh, I felt a lump and everyone should be doing self-exams, all that good stuff.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I actually was 39. And after years of wanting a breast reduction, I went and had the surgery and my doctor thankfully sent the tissue off to be tested, which I understand not all surgeons do. And at my age, a lot of doctors might have not done that. And I forgot all about it. And the week after my reduction surgery, my doctor called and said, left breast is fine, all healthy, all good. But the right breast showed something called DCIS. And he had no idea what that was. And I had never heard of it. And he started talking like pre-cancer. He started dropping those words. And I was like, wait, what? Does this mean I have cancer? What does this mean? So immediately I took to Google, of course.
Oh God, Dr. Google's the worst.
Right. They're equally helpful and terrifying, right? So you go down that rabbit hole. At the same time, he was like, this is not my area, but I'm going to find you a doctor and refer you out. So he referred me to a surgeon and I felt like his idea of what I should do next was a little too conservative. I started getting these like intuitions and I was like, no, I'm not settled with that opinion. So I went for a second opinion and they retested my tissue and they said, well, actually we think that it's more than just DCIS. We think that we see microinvasion in one of the tumors, but they said it does look like the tumor had good margins. And so I still just felt a little, I got more answers with them, but I still felt like I needed like a third opinion for whatever reason. So I went to MD Anderson in Texas and ultimately went to them for my surgeries and everything. And when they looked at the pathology report, they said they actually thought that it was an invasive tumor, not that it was just becoming invasive. And they all three thought that, well, no, I'm sorry. The first doctor did not think that I needed a mastectomy, but again, I thought he was too conservative. The other two did. They were saying mastectomy without a doubt because DCIS is so small and I had such dense breast tissue that there was just no way of ensuring that they got it all. And then when they started to see invasive tumors, it was like, no, you just need to have them removed, which was just a total punch in the gut after just having a reduction surgery. And being so happy with my perfect little boobs that I always wanted. And I was just like, no, this is not happening. So
like a blessing and a curse all at the same time, right? Like you're like, oh, right. Yes, I'm so excited. Like you're going to basically alleviate back problems in the future by doing your breast reduction. And then to come out to get that diagnosis, that's insane. But thank God your surgeon
right.
sent that tissue off. That's crazy.
Yeah. And thank God I had the surgery done, because who knows where that would have ultimately ended up and when I would have learned and how I would have learned. And then I did have tumors in two of my lymph nodes. So
you did.
Who knows where that was heading. And it wasn't an aggressive cancer. So that's why everybody was kind of perplexed. Like, how did this end up in your lymph nodes whenever it's not aggressive? And it was very early stage. I was stage 1B. So,
wow.
Well, yeah, it was really,
I did make note here, as I told you, I like to take notes while I'm interviewing because something triggers, but kudos to you for sticking with your intuition and going with your gut, because as Women Empowerment Coach and you as well, we really need to listen to our bodies, and listening to our bodies is what's going to get us the results that we want, because we're going to fight for it. So going to get 3 opinions was amazing. So many people think, oh my gosh, like I just got this diagnosis. Like the doctor knows best. I need to do exactly what the doctor says. And no disrespect to doctors, but like, yeah, you can listen to that, but you 100% should be, you know, getting a second and third opinion. So you actually left California and went to Texas for your third opinion, huh?
At the time we were living in the Bahamas.
Oh,
so we were no,
either way,
no, it's confusing. We talked ahead of where all we've lived, and we've lived all over the country. But so it's hard to keep up with, but yeah, we were out of the country, and we had our house in Arkansas. And so I spent time split between there and MD Anderson was in between. It was a nice kind of split, because my husband had to keep working, obviously, to keep insurance and keep money coming in. So
that's a big factor.
Right. Somebody has to do it. So so that's why it was another factor in me deciding to go with MD Anderson. Plus, I just had a lot of faith in them. They had their stuff together. They were very organized. They were very respectful. I liked all the doctors. And that's huge. But yeah, on the point though of trusting your intuition, you know, it was kind of a process for me. And it was the first time that I'd ever really needed to do that. And I didn't fully trust it. You know, it was like, I would start down a path or commit to a decision, and then I would start to second guess it. And one of my doctors, my surgeon at MD Anderson, she was amazing. I loved all my doctors, but she was especially like an angel to me. And we were roughly the same age. I think she was just a couple years younger than me. So I think she related to me too, because like she kind of saw herself in me.
Sure.
And she, you know, I told her I was struggling with some of the decisions. I was like, you know, you guys are going to tell me that I need chemo and this and that, and I just don't think that I need that. And she said, listen, here's the deal. You know your body. We're doctors, we're trained, we're educated. We're going to tell you what we believe based on what we've been trained, but only you know your body. Mm-hmm. You need to listen to your heart. It's never going to lead you wrong. And I was just like, you know, tears.
Why can't they have more doctors like that?
Right? Oh, it was an amazing conversation. And from that point on, I was like, she's right. They don't know my body. So I need to just own it. Own these decisions and move forward and stop second guessing myself. And that's why I think I'm so passionate about sharing that, because that was so powerful to me. Mm-hmm. It was like, I needed someone to give me permission to trust myself. What a concept, right? But we do, because we've been so programmed to override our intuition with logic and
based on what other people think should be done.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's huge. That is so huge, because it is, that's the empowerment factor, right? It's
right.
Literally going through breast cancer really makes you gain confidence in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, screw, I got this. Screw you.
Right.
Listen to me. Come on, committee upstairs here. Like, let's have a conversation. Like, what's best for me? Nobody else. And I don't know about you, but like, for me, that was just like you said, like very empowering to be like, you're right. You know what? This is my body. I'm going to make my own decisions. I fired my first general surgeon and I fired my first,
oncologist.
Thank you.
I say that because I know how difficult it is to find oncologists that mesh with you. I had the same trouble. They're very opinionated, I have found. 100.
Absolutely. Like, I envisioned him sitting there in his little freaking Argyle socks with his like leg halfway cross. And I was like, he was like, well, I don't think you should do that. I was like, oh, okay. So that means like, if I'm not going to go with what you say, like you're
40, then you're wrong.
Yeah. Then I'm wrong. Number one, after doing my own research and after my general surgeon actually advised me of such based on my Oncotype test score, because I had an Oncotype test score, which came back really high. And he's like, yeah, but your percentages of this. And I'm like, I'm not going with your statistics, buddy. Like, you have a job here to make money off of treatment, right? Like, I'm not new to this game. Right. So I was like, oh, so your $40 copays are done then? He's like, yep. I'm like, peace out, sauerkraut. And then I went to another oncologist in that practice who happened to be a female. And she was like, cause I had said that, you know, I really felt like my hormone driven was, you know, my going through my IVF treatment could have played a part in going through that. And she was like, and he told me I was crazy. He was like, that was like 10 years ago. I'm like, right. But you don't plant an apple seed today and it grows tomorrow. And the oncologist that I got afterwards was like, absolutely. There could be time to it. There's, you know, plenty of studies. They're just not going to prove it because science, deep pockets, you know, not only that, right. There's like so many different factors, right? There's so many different things that go into a diagnosis of, you know, what kind of treatment did you have for IVF? What kind of breast cancer did you have? Like, there's so many different crossing paths, like a grid, you know?
Yeah.
So good for you. I'm so proud of you for, you know, standing up for your own. And I'm also proud of you for taking your story and standing on your story and not staying stuck in your story, because I'm a huge believer in that and wanting to help educate and hop on that bandwagon. So that's why I love that our stories are so similar, but at the same time, it's really empowering, right? To find another survivor that feels the same way. And, you know, that's why I love interviewing other thrivers, to be like, yes, let's do this. Let's freaking conquer the world.
Right. Let's team up and do this. And that's what I love about this community that we're both a part of is that we're all doing something similar, and it could be very competitive in the business world. It would be, but we're just all coming together to figure out how we can make this thing, make an even bigger impact together. And I love it. I'm all about that.
It's about bridging the gap. So for me, wanting to really educate other survivors, but also educate the medical world, right, about the importance of cancer and exercise, not only for prevention, but going through treatment and also recovery. Because what happens is with that gap, you know, you get the discharge. It's like, all right, well, you're good to go. Congratulations on your 6-week recovery.
Right.
Go do your thing.
You're so right. Here's the paper in your folder that you can read later. You know, when you feel like reading through all these papers that
right. Meanwhile, you're sitting there like, what do you mean? Like, my whole life for the last, you know, months, weeks, or whatever has been revolved around you on my calendar. And now what, we're breaking up? Like,
right. We're done here.
Right. It's like, yeah. It's like you just broke up with me, but I wasn't ready. You know, meanwhile, you're sitting there with T-Rex arms still, you have rounded shoulders. You're like, you know, oh, so yes, I love that you are taking that. Now, I'm not sure what you did prior to your cancer diagnosis. What did you do for work prior to that?
I was in human resources. I think I was around 14, 15 years at the time that I was diagnosed. I was an independent contractor at the time, thankfully. So I didn't have, you know, I didn't have to do the FMLA thing. I didn't have to worry about what wasn't getting done or what wasn't happening during this period. So that was really nice. I was able to take all the time that I needed to rest and recover and absorb all of this and figure out what was next, which was, as you know, it's a huge process. I don't know, you know, every survivor, thriver knows this. We all go through it, but other people they just can't understand what goes on in the mind of someone with breast cancer. Right. And it's like, there's a pre-Christy and there's a post-Christy, you know, and you're just never the same.
Never.
But it changes you in a good way. If you let it, like you said, you know, you have to stand on your story, not in your story.
Yep. 100%. And it is, like you just said, if you let it, because there are so many great things. Like, I mean, I'll just say, for example, us, like so many great things that come out of it. And then, and like right. I said, that's why I like to interview other thrivers, see how they come out of their journey, because it does, it changes you. There is a pre and a post. My post personally is I'm going to empower, educate, empower, and inspire other women with the importance of exercise, taking care of yourself, well-being, so on and so forth, but also empowering them, you know, being an empowerment coach. The person beforehand, and I really don't give a shit what other people think these days, like anymore at all. Like, that's good. That's your opinion. I'm on a mission. Get out of my way. Right. Whereas right. before I'd be like, all right, well, you know, maybe we should argue about this, or like, you know, no, I want to make my point. Now I'm like, I don't really care at all. Yeah. You know,
you don't have time to waste. No. You realize that. Yeah. Time yeah. is precious.
Exactly. I'm not interested in your opinion, but thank you. I'll let you know if I am.
You're right. Still polite, but.
Right. That doesn't fit into my plans for today. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
So now, so go ahead.
Oh no, I was just thinking about, you know, you'd asked me what I did before, and I've been listening to your previous episodes, just kind of getting an idea of who you are and how you like to handle the interview process. And I love how you always say you found your purpose at the intersection of passion and pain. Like, HR was my passion because I love helping people. I love people. I love working with people. I love helping them better their lives. And yep. so what better way to help people than to truly help them in their personal health and well-being in their life. So like, yep. I feel like HR was always, it was a good fit for me, but it was like just missing that mark.
Yeah.
And then I went through this and I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This feels like, you know, this was the thing that life was preparing me for all along. Yep. So feels really good.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Just, I'm going to go off of that. That was a great segue. It is crazy how once you stop, I've always been like kind of a control freak, like type A, like just because I like to fill my plate with a lot of stuff. Therefore I need to be very organized. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm huge on like systems, organization, structure, like my SOS plan. I love that. But with that being said, like once you find that and you can categorize things, you're like, oh, right. So there has been a plan all along, and always trying to deviate from that plan, be like, no. Like I need to stay my lane here. Whereas somebody else has a different plan for us. And they're like, no. Just let me lead. And I've never really, and I don't ever get into like politics or religion, but I truly and believe that everything does happen for a reason. People come in and out of your lives for certain reasons. And I'm not saying that this is, oh, you should have gotten breast cancer, but listen, if there's going to be a voice, if there's going to be anybody like that can be a voice and help advocate, I'm your girl. Right. I will.
Right.
I'm like, thank you. I got this. Thank you very much. Thanks for the little dabble. Thanks for that dance. But I'm good now. So yes, it is definitely, again, ties back into, you know, pre and post of who we are. Right.
So yeah.
You're in HR to understand and learn all the things and the different scenarios from different people. Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's a coaching aspect to HR,
yep.
which, you know, it was just like, wow, was that preparing me all along? I mean, like you said, I hate to think that breast cancer was on the menu for us and we just didn't know it, but we all have those things in our life. Like, yep. We all have a purpose. We all have a bigger purpose than we realize, or that we, you know, sometimes we think about. And I know before I was just sort of on autopilot. And cancer woke me up. I was like, wait, you're just going through the motions of life. Why are you doing yes. that? You know? And at the time I was, you know, at that age where I was about to turn 40, you know, it was about 6 months, you know, before my 40th that all of this kind of went down. And it just woke me up and I was like, you're just going through the motions. What are you going to do with the next 40 years? Because I am going to be here for the next 40 years.
Absolutely.
I'm going to see to it.
It was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and pump your brakes for you. You're going to pause because you have a new chapter coming up in your life that you don't know about yet, but I'm going to prepare you for it. So you're about to turn 40. So that was a milestone. I had just turned 45 that year in March, and I was diagnosed in July. So April, May, June, July. Yeah. So similar on the other side though. And so for me, I remember driving to work at 45 going, oh my gosh, like this, I must be at the peak right now. Like I can see myself being 90, you know, another 45 years, no big deal, right? These days, on my plan anyway, So like you said, like, holy cow, I didn't realize this. So this is going to be my next 45. Okay. All right. Well, here we go.
Right. <This is fun. laughs> I'm so much more excited about the second half. Like, right? I feel like, yeah, you know, like the whole aspect of being awake, but also just all the lessons.
Yeah.
Before cancer, but everything leading up to cancer, but then all the lessons that you learn through cancer and all the people that come into your life through this process and the lessons that you learn, you know, the friendships that you, the veil just comes off, you know, the curtain gets pulled back and you start to see things for what they really are. And there's just so much value in that. And I'm really appreciating that. And just like you said earlier, being more confident and, you know, sitting here having this conversation so confidently, that wasn't pre-cancer, Christy.
That was a good analogy. The veil, pulling the veil back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's how it feels. It feels like you just have a whole new way of looking at light. You see things differently and you can't go back. As much as, you know, sometimes it feels like it would be easier to just go back and just exist and shrink back and play small. It's so much easier and safer. It's not fun and it's not useful. You know, if you have a purpose. Yeah, exactly. I've always been, I don't know how other people feel, but I feel like I, you know, spent my whole adult life, like, what is my purpose? Is this, am I supposed to be a mom? Am I supposed to be a career woman? Nothing ever felt like a fit, but I just knew that there was something. And I always wonder if other people feel that way or if it's just sort of the way that I'm wired. Yeah, good.
But for me, I'm like, why can't I be all the things? I want to be all the things.
So you're a real go-getter.
I am. I'm like, why do I just have to stay my lane here? No. I'm here, but I have some different pillars that come down. That's how I am.
Yeah. I get too crazy when I think about doing too many things. That's why I was sharing with you before. I do advocate for a clean beauty brand, but right now that's sort of taking a backseat to my coaching because I can't do too many things at once or I get a little nutty and we don't need that.
But with that being said, it does tie into what you're doing. It's just a matter of how you weave them all in together, right? So we can get in a whole conversation of like lining yourself up, but you know, we can talk about the beauty line that you do because it does tie in with your health and your wellness and your coaching because it ties into cancer. So that's just a different facet of it. That's all. So do you want to talk about your health and wellness coaching and then we can trickle down into your beauty?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm developing my signature program called Blossom Beyond Breast Cancer. And it has three main pillars, mental and emotional well-being being one of the pillars, nutrition and exercise, obviously. And then hormone balancing, which is a whole umbrella, which underneath is, you know, alcohol and stress management and toxin avoidance. And we were talking a little bit before about how interesting it is in our world. We think that everyone must know about toxins and how they impact our hormones because we eat, sleep, and breathe this, but it's shocking how many women still don't. Mm-hmm. So that has become a really important part of my message and was the reason that I decided to advocate for, it's a clean beauty line called Crunchy. And,
they have a great gloss.
They do. It's the best.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah. That's one of my top three products actually that I love. And I actually love almost every product that they have and they're expanding. And I love that they are as committed to making sure that the products are clean and safe as they are to making sure that they perform. And they are not afraid to pull a product if it's not performing, if they feel like maybe an ingredient has become questionable or they've learned something new about an ingredient, they'll just pull it. So they're definitely not just about the money. And I love that about them. Mm-hmm. So it's also been fun. You know, women, this is such a heavy topic, breast cancer. And even the women who have breast cancer and they're going through the thick of that battle, they don't want to talk about it all the time. They want a break from it. And so they're learning something that could benefit them. And it's fun. It's makeup. So
you can get pretty
makeup, right?
Who doesn't love a good lip gloss? Let's start with that. Like, I mean, come on, it's all about the lip gloss,
right? Well, for me, it's all about the mascara, and they just perfected their mascara, so I'm excited.
True story. I'm like a mascara junkie.
Are you?
I am. My daughter's like, so how do you do your eyes? I'm like, well, truth be told, I have 5 mascaras that I use all at once. She's like, I just like one. But yes, mascara and lip gloss are the jam.
That's funny. Sure. I've always been very meticulous in the way that I apply my mascara. My mom used to, she would stand there and she's like, I can't watch you. It's like, makes me like too jittery to watch you. But I was very, you know, but.
It's an art.
It is.
But yeah, see, all of that ties in, because if we're not educating people on the importance of knowing our products, whether it's beauty products, shampoo, cleaning products, things like that, like those are the things. And the majority of cancers these days are all environmental. Because realistically, there's only about 5 to 7 or 5 to 8% of cancers that are hereditary, any cancer. So if that's such a small number, where are all these
cancers? Where is the rest of it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I like to look back at, you know, when we were growing up, you're a little bit younger than me, but same era of like, we didn't talk about organic foods. We didn't talk about the things that went into, you just did the things, right?
Right. We ate packaged processed foods and drank out of water hoses and didn't think a thing of it. Oh, we basked in the sun with baby oil. All the things. Oh,
but those are the things that catch up with us. So my daughter thinks I'm crazy when I'm like, stop eating that or stop doing that. She's like, mommy, I'm like, I'm trying to teach you based on things that I've learned, my lessons, because I don't want you to experience the same thing.
Yeah. That has to be so hard to think about that. Like
it being
a mother and knowing all of these things. And then she's like, whoa, mom.
Right. And that, you know,
coming in hot.
Yeah, exactly. Coming in hot. Here she comes again.
Right.
She'll be to her friends. Here comes my mom again. Or like, she'll, you know, on Instagram, like a lot of her friends like to follow me on Instagram because I'm fun. I take fun very serious. Right. And they're like, your mom's so cool. She's like, no, but I do. I post about my breast cancer stuff. She's like, mommy, that means people are going to see my mom's boobs. I'm like, it's an educational thing. And if you don't want them to follow me, you tell them. I'm not making my account different because of your friends. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to educate, empower, and inspire other women, you know?
Yeah.
So
she'll appreciate it someday. She will. She's at that age, right? How old is she?
13.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Her whole world is her friends and what people, her friends think. Yeah. Yeah. She'll appreciate it someday. And hopefully you will save her from going down this path. Maybe there's a different path for her in life.
Yeah.
One that doesn't include breast cancer.
And if I can help her friends without even knowing, then that's even better, right?
Helping the masses. True.
So your health and wellness, your Blossom Through Breast Cancer, is that what it was called?
Blossom Beyond Breast Cancer?
Beyond Breast Cancer, okay. So you cover very similar pillars that I do. I cover my first pillar is mindset, second is exercise, followed by nutrition, and then sleep, the secret pillar, and your community and support group. So same thing, you just kind of tie them in. But I think it's great that you really focus on the environmental things, the hormones, because I've talked on my episodes before about how important it is to know your body and understand your hormones. So I love that you tackle that and that you really educate women on, you know, knowing the importance of that, because all these chemicals are hormone disruptors.
Yes. Yeah. And in my group a couple of weeks ago, when I posted about it, someone commented, where's the scientific proof for this? Do you have any studies that you can point us to? So of course I had all these, you know, great resources that I could direct her to. And she was just like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. She's in the UK where things are a little bit different. I think they allow like 30 chemicals in their beauty products, whereas we allow, I don't know, what is it? 10,000, 20,000. It's a lot. It's kind of ridiculous. The difference between the two countries and how those things are handled. So we could probably do a whole other episode about that, but
we should do one just on hormones and the chemicals. I had a previous interview with Sharon Newman. She does Beauty Counter, which is, you know, similar, you know, type of concept. But it is really important to really understand, but you know, I look at COVID as being a good thing in the sense that it allowed, I don't know, with Clubhouse, this app that I know everyone's like, oh my God, the stupid app, which I haven't been on in months because it's just too time consuming, but it allowed us to meet other people all around the world, especially the UK. I found there's a lot of people from the UK, and it's just fascinating how our worlds are so different.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And you can educate them and we learn from them. And so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I found it interestingly, I wouldn't think that they would be so interested in that topic since it's not such a big issue there. But another member of my group who's in the UK, the feedback I got from her this week is she's like, I've left other groups that were here local because they were so negative and fear-based. And that's why I love your community, because you're not that. And I'm just like, what a shame. It's just like anything. We see our own problems because we're here and it's in front of us day in and day out. And we think, oh, it must be so much better over there up in Canada or wherever. And it's not. It's we all have our problems and issues. And I don't remember where I was going with that point, but I guess just to say that it's just too bad that there are people out there using fear instead of empowerment
knowledge. Yep.
And I don't know what they think that they're doing. Are they helping? I don't know what, supporting women, but I just feel like there's a way that we can educate and inform, but it can still be fun and lighthearted and uplifting not fear-based.
Not fear-based, because there's enough fear as it is getting a cancer diagnosis and going through the whole journey of that. Right. So why do we want to have more fear? Like, let me give you the tips, tools, and resources that you need to empower yourself to get through this horrible diagnosis and journey and come out a better person.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I pinch myself some days that I'm in a position now to be able to do that. And that's my, quote, I hate even calling it work because it doesn't feel like work. It just feels like a purpose. And to get that feedback, just to get that reassurance, to know that I'm on the right path and I'm doing the right thing and I'm making an impact, even on a small scale, because I'm just starting out as a coach. And so just getting that feedback early on, it's just reassuring that I'm doing the right thing. And there's, like you said earlier, you're in Florida, I'm in California, but we're talking to women who are even out of the country. So
yeah.
It's a big, big world out there of women who need our help and our support.
So kudos to us for, coming together and doing that. I love that. It's I hate to use the word cult because I feel like that sounds so negative, but it's like, it's a community. It's an awesome community if you let it be. You talked about someone else in groups. Yes, I've been in several breast cancer groups and it's like, you just want to go in there and complain about this and that, and you're stuck in your story. And yes, stay stuck in your story for the moment, but find the tools and resources to get you out of that. Like, that's what we want to do. We want to help women get out of that horrible mindset, that horrible feeling. That's a yucky feeling. No one likes to feel like that. No one likes to feel like they're just like, oh my gosh, I have cancer. Like, I'm never going to come out of this. Yes. God willing, hopefully 99% of women are going to come out of it and you're going to be okay. Yes. You might have side effects. Yes. You're going to be different. Congratulations. You're going to be different because hopefully you will learn the tools to make different choices.
Right.
Right.
I had an integrative doctor that I saw before I had surgery or anything. And he said, I believe you'll live to be 80, 85, who knows, you're going to be an old lady, but you need to view this as a chronic illness. You have to manage it like a chronic illness. So in that moment, it was a little bit deflating because I was like, I don't want to manage a chronic illness, but it's all in how you look at it, right? Which goes back to mindset, the whole mindset pillar. It's not feeling sorry for yourself. It's always staying in that place of empowerment and knowing that every bite of food we put in our mouth, every product we purchase and put on our body, it makes a difference. And that's all he meant by that. You can't go back to your old ways or you're going to get, what's that saying? If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. Well,
exactly.
If you keep doing what you did pre-cancer, you're probably going to get cancer again. Not that there's any guarantees, right? Because we could do all the right things and still get cancer again. And it doesn't mean that we didn't do enough or that we're bad or we're wrong. It just means that we're still human.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to right back to the point of being diagnosed. And as we just got done talking about I'm now empowered. Like, I am now empowered to make my own decisions. Well, guess what? That's the part that doesn't change. You're always empowered to make those decisions, whether you want to eat good or bad, whether you want to exercise or not, whether you're going to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
yes, you are empowered. Life is up to you. You get to make the choices, and that's exciting. You know, right. It's not left for anybody else to make. This is my life, and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. And if you don't like it, that sucks.
Right.
Because I don't know. I happen to think that I'm fun and I like to meet other people and empower other people too. But if, you know, some people aren't always on that journey. Some people are like, nope, I'm good where I'm at. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine too. Yeah. It's funny to me to see cancer changes everyone, but some women are focused on, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Some women are focused on their life and their circle and their family, but it definitely changes them and they approach things differently in that way. And then other women feel suddenly this calling inside, like, I need to do more with this. And then we have coaches and we have other advocates and mentors, come from this experience turning. I learned in coaching school, they would always say, turn your mess into a message. And yeah. I love watching that. And it's just interesting to watch the stories unfold. And that's why I love what I do. And I love running my group because I get to know some of these women more closely and just watch that kind of journey as it unfolds and how, what they choose to do with it.
Yep. And that's why I love this platform too. I'd love to be able to watch other thrivers turn their mess into a message. And I wanted to be able to provide that platform so people can share that because it is so important and it is valuable. And, you know, everyone's voice needs to be heard because everybody's experience is different somehow, some way, you know,
yeah.
What might be the same exact diagnosis of whatever that diagnosis is, but it doesn't mean the experience is going to be the same.
Yeah. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing and fascinating to look at a handful of women with the same diagnosis, but their doctors tell them different things. I was listening to one of your podcasts where you were interviewing, I think it was your surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about how surveillance for her looks like an MRI every 3 years. Well, that's something where we're all being told different things about how to handle surveillance afterwards. And it's just, there's all these different, I don't know if they're opinions. I don't know what they're basing it on. Some doctors are more conservative than others. So we get all these different, this different feedback from them about what needs to happen next. And so it is interesting that we have these communities now where we can communicate and trade notes, and it gives us more to go to our doctors with mm-hmm. to advocate for ourselves, because I didn't want to go every 18 months for an MRI, but my oncologist told me I needed to. And then a surgeon stepped in and said, no, that was the whole point of getting a mastectomy, so that you wouldn't have to be exposed to that every year, 2 years, 3 years. So no, you don't need one. And I'm like, well, who do I listen to? Who do I need?
Yeah. It's so tough. You know, it's, you know, what was their education, their background? What were they taught? You know, and then it's, you know, did you take that and do a fellowship, or, you know, did you do additional training and things like that? So it is, it's crazy. It's like, yeah. You know, I'll listen to other women. They're like, yeah, well, I need to go and, you know, have this test and this test done, you know, continuously. And I was like, I was just told every 6 months, you know, like, but I don't even go get a MRI. I literally just go to my general surgeon and he's like, I'm just looking for lumps. I'm like, wait a second, but I didn't have any lumps to begin with. What are you talking about?
Right. How are you going to find them now? Right. All my tissues removed, most of my tissue. Well, and just like with the oncotype score, you know, you mentioned having that earlier. My oncologist told me that I wouldn't benefit from an oncotype score, so he wouldn't order one for me. And I was like, but all these women in these support groups have them. It helps guide, like, how are you going to tell me, determine whether or not I need chemo or whether or not I would benefit from it? And he's like, oh, I already know you need it. You won't benefit from the score, which I declined. Part of my empowerment message, I declined chemo because I was like, no, that's just too much. I have early stage cancer. I don't believe in it. I don't think it's going to work. Then because we move so frequently, I've seen so many different doctors throughout the years of the years, these last 3 years in dealing with this disease. And the following two oncologists that I met with said they would not have recommended chemo for me. So that made me, I just reaffirmed that need to really listen to that inner voice. But it's disappointing that we don't all get the same information, you know? And I guess to their point, there is some bio-individuality that comes into play, but at the same time, you would think there would be a little more consistency in some of it. But yeah, it's just been interesting to learn and listen to the ways that, you know, you can take a handful of women with the exact same diagnosis and it's a totally different story based on them as individuals and what they decided to do and what the doctors were telling them. It's really interesting.
It is 100%. So listeners, the whole point of this message is to make sure you have the questions. Make sure this is why I have this platform. This is why I interview other thrivers to share their story, because there are so many different scenarios. And I just want to make sure we get the message across that it's okay to, number one, listen to your body. Number one, to empower yourself, but educate you to have the information to ask the questions, because you don't know what you don't know. So if your story can help someone by asking one or two more questions, my story, anybody else that comes on to tell their story, it's just building up all of that, right? So I love that. I think that's amazing. So what would you say, what would be your, I kind of feel like you just said it, but what would be your one, even two, I'm fine with whatever you want to do, tips or pieces of advice that you would give to the listeners to take away?
Definitely listen to your intuition. Listen to those gut feelings. It's okay to do research and it's okay to ask your friends what they might do. You have to remember that unless you've gone through this, mm-hmm. you really don't know what you would do. So your friends are going to give you, and your family, they're going to give you really well-meaning advice, unsolicited advice in a lot of cases. And it's fine to listen to that, but at some point you have to shut all of that out and be alone with your thoughts and listen to those inner knowings and what they're telling you to do, because that's the secret sauce.
It really is. Because I'll tell you, pre-Shannon, didn't even know how to sit with my own thoughts by myself.
Yeah. It's now really like, hard.
Yeah. Now I'm like, excuse me, I just got to go have a little me time right now. Like, right. I kind of like me time. It's fun.
I know. I'm learning to take walks just without, I usually am listening to a podcast. I'm not big on music anymore as much as I am listening to books and podcasts, but lately I've just been taking walks and just listening to nature, and it's amazing what comes up. Yeah. You're like, where did all these thoughts and feelings come from? Oh, I've been suppressing them because I never shut the outside world off and, mm-hmm. and just let those things bubble up. And it's a very natural process that we've just in our modern world have just sort of shut out, but it's such a powerful tool. And then the other thing is just, and going along with that empowerment message is only you know your body and what you need. And yes, the doctors are trained. I can't remember if I said this on or off air, but my surgeon who said, you know, we're going to tell you what we think you need to do because that's what we're trained to do and that's our job. You need to listen to your heart and what it's telling you. You have that permission. If you needed permission, you have it now. Shannon and I are giving you permission that you can make these decisions. And it may not line up with what the doctors are telling you to do. And it may not line up with what your mother or your sister or your friend say that you need to do. But this is your body and your life. And if you feel very strongly, like in my case, I felt very strongly that I did not need chemo. And thankfully, I got that validation from two other doctors. But can you imagine if I had just gone along with what the doctor said, how regretful I would be today? So I always think about that. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't share that part of my story to encourage women to do what I did, because that's not the message. You need to do what feels right to you, what you believe is going to work. And that's where I would leave that.
In addition to that, like just to kind of piggyback on that of also, if your doctor doesn't agree with it, find a doctor who does, because ultimately you want, I've, you know, advocated before, like find a team of doctors that are going to empower you to advocate for yourself, you know, just because they're the doctors, you know, you want to find that team that says, you know what, this is what my advice is based on, you know, my studies, so on and so forth. Go get another opinion, do some research, but please come back to me with those questions so we can discuss it. You know, it's like, if you can find a team that you can have the discussion with, I mean, I was blessed beyond belief after firing my other ones, like my plastic surgeon to this day. I mean, I interviewed him on my podcast. I could talk to him for hours, but when you can have someone that has the knowledge and the expertise behind it and to back it up with, you know, exercise, movement, muscles, incisions, so on and so forth, like that's exciting. And so I would just encourage people to find a team of doctors that is willing to have a conversation, not just dictate to them.
Yeah. You know? And they are out there.
They are out there. You just got to look for them and right. Be willing to travel. Like clearly you traveled.
Yeah. I'm fortunate that, you know, financially we were able to do that. It was difficult logistically, but yeah, I mean, I traveled 10 hours away from, about 10 hours away from my home in Arkansas. And that was after surgeries, and it wasn't easy, but yeah, sometimes you have to drive 10 hours away to find a doctor that aligns with you, and that's fine.
Yeah. And nobody said this process was easy.
That's true.
And I don't even want to use the line, if it was easy, everyone would do it, because I don't ever want anyone to have to go through this if they can avoid it. Obviously we all try to avoid it, clearly, but you know, I'm hoping that other women come out as empowered and educated and inspired as us to be able to come join us. So if you are a survivor and you're currently listening, I highly encourage you to reach out to Chrissy and or myself always, or any other survivor, just to, you know, find a survivor that's going to, you know, take you under their wing and just really take you on a journey, on a positive journey, you know, so you can stand on your story, not be stuck on your story. So Chrissy, thank you so much for being here. I totally appreciate you sharing your story, sharing your journey, talking about your health and life coaching that you do for other survivors, your Blossom Beyond Breast Cancer program, which is pretty cool. So that's awesome. So tell me, how can the listeners find you?
Well, thank you for having me. This has been so fun. I've really enjoyed it. I forgot that we were recording a podcast and we were just having a great conversation. So that was really nice. Listeners can find me. You can email me at Christy, which is Christy, at wellnessreclaimedhealthcoaching.com. Sorry for the long email. You can also find me on my website, which is wellnessreclaimedhealthcoaching.com. There's a contact section and you can poke around the website to see kind of what I'm all about. And you can also follow me on Instagram. It's coachchristy_wellnessreclaimed.
Awesome. And we'll make sure we put all of those into the show notes, because clearly if you're walking or driving or laying on your couch, you're not really worrying about having a pen and paper right now. So anyway, all that information will be in the show notes. I appreciate you, your time, your story, and your thriving. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It was fun.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this week's episode has somehow changed your life with a smile. If you're looking for guidance through your breast cancer journey or need some guidance through your recovery, but don't know where to start, head on over to shannonbrose.com and let's chat. Until next week, live well, laugh often, and love much.